You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, third hour. It's almost pick time. It's almost muddy time. Six-pack of picks coming up. Third hour here. Tiki and Tierney coming in from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Understands it's not just a mortgage, but it is your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So as you start to cruise home, start your weekend, obviously there's so many different things going on. Tico is going to have a, looking forward to his perspective. I'm looking forward to your thoughts on Happy Valley. Teek's heading out there to PA tomorrow morning, as he'll be on the call tomorrow night, 7:30, prime time. Little Wolverines, Nittany Lions. So college football, we touched on the meaningful stuff. Obviously, a big NFL day. We squeezed in some baseball as well. The Astros, one win away from the World Series. You know, here's the problem. I want to get back to the NFL. Here's one of the problems. Like, we forget about this. That's why I got so annoyed the other day. That's why I came up with this radically, ridiculously, stupidly asinine plan that I know nobody will embrace, but they should. If you missed the other show, I guess it would have been
Wednesday.
No. That was
about the
Lions. It was the Monday show.
Monday,
reacting
Tuesday
to the Sunday night game.
Did
they play Sunday or Monday? The Lions played the Packers on Sunday.
Sunday, yes.
No, on Monday. They played on Monday.
So it was Tuesday.
So it was Tuesday's show.
Yeah, I didn't think it was Monday.
A lot of games rolled into one. Yeah. A lot of eyeballs peeled at that screen, watching baseball late, watching football late, so pardon me on that. It was Monday. And coming on Tuesday, I said, you know, here's the problem with these blown calls, right? We talk about it. We bury the officials, and then we forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we forget as we move on to the next bridge here, the next bridge of games, what's left in the residue, what's left in the wake of these horrendous calls here is legacies and job security and the ability to maybe define your career with punctuating wins. And now all of a sudden, the Detroit Lions, who are a damn good team.
They are.
Better than we thought.
No doubt.
Stout on defense, pretty well coached, run the ball a little bit. Stafford's pretty good. Couple of good receivers. If they don't win this weekend
against
the Minnesota Vikings,
who played great last weekend,
who are now 2 weeks in a row, their offense has gotten
going.
Right. Thielen 2 weeks ago, last weekend was Diggs with the three bombs. All of a sudden, the Lions season is pretty much over.
Yeah.
Because the Packers have 5 wins. If the Vikings win this game, they will have 5.
Yeah.
And the Lions will be stuck on 2.
Look,
and will forget the bad calls against the Packers.
Dude, I 100% agree.
That's why I hate it.
I would love for what you propose, which is the commissioner or somebody have the authority to go back and change a game.
It's called the overturn committee.
Exactly. Go back and change the outcome of a game.
You get one a year.
Because a horrendous hands to the face on Trey Flowers. There were two of them, but the second one was particularly egregious. Hands of the face. He was clearly on his shoulder pad. On his shoulder. Maybe he was holding. Maybe you could call defensive holding, but it was not hands of the face in the head or neck area as it is defined. And by the way, Bakhtiari, like, goaded the ref.
His head back.
Well, he goaded the ref into doing it because he talked to him before. Like a series or so before.
Smart move.
He talked to him and said he's getting his hands up in my neck. Watch for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he throws his head back when he's getting jacked up because Trey Flowers was stronger.
NBA flop.
Exactly right. It was a flop. Where's the $5,000 fine that goes along with it? But anyways, it affected the outcome of the game.
Yep.
It helped the Green Bay Packers win to the point, and it never really picked up steam, but people are like, is this game fixed? People were saying that. You know what I mean? And if the league is starting to have, is this game fixed questions as opposed to, well, the refs are just incompetent, then you have a problem. And so what you're saying has had some merit in that regard. What this does, though, just to move the conversation forward, is to present a huge opportunity for Detroit. Because Detroit is, look, they're always going to have to prove it. Even if they had started the season like 5-1, we'd still be like, all right, it's just a matter of time before the Detroit Lions become the Detroit Lions. Like, they always are going to have to prove it, and now they get a chance to prove it against a really good Minnesota Vikings team that has, over the last few years under Mike Zimmer, had a great defense. It's continuing that way this season, save for Kirk Cousins playing, I don't even know what the word is, just questionable decision-making football for some points in the season.
Cautious.
Yeah,
he threw 10 times one game.
You're right.
I think that was week one.
You're right. But save some of his question marks, this Minnesota Vikings team could be undefeated, right? So if Detroit wants to prove something, now is the chance to prove it. They can't talk about Green Bay anymore. Yeah, they were that game was given away from them, but they can help what's at stake against this Minnesota Vikings team, another division rival. And as you mentioned, BT, there is a ton at stake. If they go down to 2-3-1 on the season,
they can't win the division.
They can't win the division
because
they're likely not to get back into it from a wild card.
Exactly, because even if let's say they lose the game and they're 2-3-1, as Tiki said, right? Even if the Packers stumble, and God forbid, unless something happened to Rodgers, you don't imagine that they will.
They're only getting better.
Exactly. Yeah. Each week they are literally getting better.
Yep.
You don't imagine that the Vikings would also simultaneously stumble. So now they need two teams to stumble. And this is my prime, and then we'll obviously push this big time forward, but that's going to get lost in the nuance of the season.
You're right.
Pretty soon that will dissipate into thin air fully. No one will even reference it because week 7, which is what we're in now, will eventually become week 10, and week 10 will become week 12, and week 12 will become week 14, and nobody will give a rat's behind what the heck happened in week 6.
Yeah.
So as much as they were blatantly hosed, and they were blatantly hosed multiple times, They gotta suck it up. They gotta find a way to win this game. I could say both do really the Cowboys and the Eagles.
This is the other big game this weekend. I mean, there's
a couple of good.
They're all big games.
Texans and the Colts is a good game.
Yeah, and let's not forget even one that doesn't mean anything really, the Cardinals and the Giants.
It does mean something for the Giants.
That's what I mean. If the Giants win this game against the Cardinals, and because one of the Cowboys or the Eagles are going to lose.
And they'll be 3-4 at that point.
Exactly.
I hear you.
They're right there.
The same record as the Giants.
Exactly.
When the Giants win.
Exactly. Well,
when the Giants are going to play well.
Stop foreshadowing your six-pack of picks.
I never said that was one of my picks.
Stop foreshadowing.
I never said it was one of my picks.
But you mentioned it before, so I'm assuming that it is. But anyways, the Cowboys and the Eagles game is so important because both of these teams feel like they're at a crossroads, right? Which path are you taking now? Are you Cowboys? You started off 3-0, but we know those teams were compromised, if not just downright horrible, including Miami. You're supposed to beat them, right? These other teams that you're not supposed to beat that are going to be games, maybe you were favored, you've kind of laid some eggs, right? Who are you, Dallas Cowboys? Everybody had you sitting on top of the pedestal as the team to beat in the NFC. I remember we had these conversations. The team to beat in the NFC is the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott is worth $38 million a year.
It's on our YouTube page. We actually said it.
I know.
Or at least, talked
about
it.
You're right. Kellen Moore. Man, this dude's winning assistant coach of the year. That Jason Garrett, give him that 8-year extension, whatever you want.
Yeah, you were a little quicker on that one than me.
But you know what I mean? That was the narrative.
Yeah, now they were looking good.
And then all of a sudden, remember we used to do reality check? Reality came back, and the Cowboys started to implode a little bit.
Now, how about them boys?
They were banged up a little bit.
Everybody's banged up. My quarterback had mono for a month.
Yeah, but they had
please.
Their top three receivers are hurt. Amari Cooper's hurt with the quad. Gallup with the
Cooper.
Knee. Cobb is even hurt. They have tons of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NFL, injuries are not an excuse.
No.
And if you're an elite quarterback, Dak Prescott, you have to elevate whoever it is. I don't care who it is. It could be some practice squad.
Look what Aaron Rodgers did with the kid the other
night. That's right.
I forgot the kid's name.
Exactly.
Rodgers told LaFleur, play this kid. I like him.
You're right.
Pays attention in the classroom. Play him.
Lazar.
Yep. That's it.
Lift him. That's what elite quarterbacks are supposed to do.
Of course.
Throw him open. Put him in positions. Coach him up. Even if you have to do it in the middle of a play, coach him up. Get him right.
Yeah.
And get him the football and empower that kid to go make a play. Dak hasn't done that during the slide. And so this Eagles game is imperative for the Cowboys to right what was a high sitting ship that is now starting to sink a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, on the other hand, just got to continue to be the Eagles, who they run the ball, let Carson Wentz, be magical in his moments, and then play good defense and find a way to get out of their little bit of a slide as well.
You know what I wanted to throw at you here? When you look at the checklist for Dak Prescott, the tangible physical tools, certainly big, certainly strong. Got enough wiggle for sure to keep you honest when he gets out of the pocket. When he does, not too much, but he can. He's an athlete.
Yep.
We always one of the primary things, leader.
Yeah.
Leader.
I think he is that.
I don't disagree. But where's the leadership during this 3-game skid? If we always say you're a great leader, yeah, probably time to start leading now.
That's why when people want to throw out this question and Samter keeps telling me who has more pressure, I hate that question, but the pressure is on Dak.
I think
Dak.
It's an easy one. It's on the Dallas Cowboys.
And Dak.
Exponentially more right? so than Philly.
Carson Wentz. Exponentially. Carson Wentz and the Eagles, even though not Carson Wentz specifically, won a Super Bowl two seasons ago, mm-hmm. right? There's equity there, right? And Carson Wentz signed a contract that's paying him, you know, $30-something million a year. He's taken care of. He knows this is the future. He knows that even if this year goes off the rails a little bit and we miss out in the playoffs or we get to the playoffs and get bounced early, we're good, man. I'm good. The pressure's on Dak. Dak's still got to prove it to a lot of people. He's still going to get the contract, I believe. It's not even a question whether Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are going to be committed to Dak Prescott. But
he's lost money, though.
But are you and me and his fan base and anyone who scrutinizes the Dallas Cowboys right now are going to stay on his bandwagon if he goes on a 4-game losing streak?
No.
In the division, now all of a sudden they're tied with the New York Giants. At 3-4, and you're in danger in some ways of missing out on the postseason. No, there is not even a question on who the pressure is on right now. It's on the Cowboys. Now, they're home. They're favored.
I think that gives you more pressure because if it doesn't start well, that play is going to sound weird.
If it wasn't the Eagles, I'd say yeah. But the Eagles are just so hated in the division by the rivals.
Yeah.
They'll be fully behind this Cowboys team unless the game starts, 3-and-out. Pick 6.
That's what I mean.
If it's an ugly start.
I don't mean if they're down a touch. I mean if it's like almost incompetence.
Yes.
So Mike keeps saying, he keeps whispering here. Go ahead, Mike. Pop, go get after him a little bit because you're on this Wentz thing. Go ahead.
I guess just my point is, the Eagles have the equity of winning a Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't Wentz.
Yeah, but
he's always going to have that monkey on his shoulder.
I would espouse that as well if they hadn't won a championship. And by the way, Philadelphia Eagle fans love Carson Wentz. They love him. There's not even a question that he's their guy. They fully believe in him. They understand that his injury is what derailed him. And even last year, they forgive him because he was coming back from it, kind of in some ways like a warrior in a sense. He wasn't ready to play mm-hmm. last year. I remember doing that game with the down in it was Tampa and the Eagles, and they were talking after the game. Hey, Nick Foles isn't getting it done right now. We got to go back to Carson Wentz. I'm like, he's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like you watch him in the pregame warmups. He's like limping around, but they rushed him back because they felt like Nick Foles wasn't giving them that whatever it was that got him in the Super Bowl. So they rushed him back. So he was forgiven last year. The Eagles fans and the Eagles community, they love Carson Wentz. There is no pressure on him.
Listen,
stop trying to push it on him.
No, I don't fully agree with Mike.
There's pressure. Maybe in Carson Wentz's head because he's trying to prove it to himself, right?
I hear you, and I'm largely with you. If you say, hey, where's the most pressure? Dallas. Firmly in Dallas.
And Dak.
But I'm just kind of looking at one broad snapshot. For sure, Dak. And hopefully he can compartmentalize that and can start playing better because he's losing money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to get the contract, but he's not going to get as much as he was a month ago. My point is, though, I understand what Mike is saying, and I'm kind of aligning myself with Mike on this. Eventually, that's going to expire. You know, eventually, and I'm not saying it's Monday if they lose 30-7 Eagles with Wentz.
Yeah.
But eventually, Carson Wentz is going to have to do something as the quarterback of the Eagles.
But I'm living in the now. I can't worry about...
I can't worry
about 8 weeks from now or even a year from now.
But that's what we do with Dak's contract. We always worry about the future. We've been talking about 2 years we've been talking about it.
Not necessarily. And it's different with Dak than it is with Wentz. Carson Wentz was a top pick in the draft. He was, you know what I mean? Dak Prescott has got to prove himself from the fourth round from a college and nobody even paid attention to him at. They're like, who? Dak Prescott? He's got to start for Tony Romo because Tony got jacked up.
He didn't go to Liberty. He went to Mississippi State. I mean, it's like he went to...
How many Mississippi State games did you watch?
With him?
Yeah.
A couple. I actually did. I got some action on some games.
Most people didn't.
They didn't know
who he was.
He had a couple big wins, man.
He did. And he's elevated himself to this stratosphere that's borderline elite. And I'm not sure he belongs in that stratosphere right now.
Nobody's sure.
And so he's got pressure. Carson Wentz, was on an MVP trajectory before he tore his ACL.
So it was Derrick Rose.
We know it.
And Derrick actually won it. And Derrick never got it back.
Yeah, basketball's a little bit different.
No, I get you. And again, I'm not even trying to like feign an argument just for the sake. I fully do agree with you. But I guess I'm a little more willing to bump it down the road a year or two.
Well, here's the thing.
Because it's interesting to look at it that
way. You're talking about it from a talking head, fan.
That's what I do for a living.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Right? I'm talking about it from a talking head, a fan, and an organization perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The Philadelphia Eagles organization is all dialed in. On Carson Wentz.
1,000% agree 1,000%. With that. Well, I totally agree
with
that.
The Dallas Cowboys
are
Eagle
fans that might get a little frisky in a couple years. That's all I'm saying.
But who cares? They're Eagles fans. They got a Super Bowl from a couple years ago. The Dallas Cowboys, meaning Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, are kind of like, all right, Dak, we know you're our guy.
Yeah.
But how much are you our guy?
All right, that's
the question.
All right.
Pressure's
all right.
On Dak.
I hear you. You know what time it is coming up next, don't you? Oh, yeah. Time for the old Sharp Shades. You ready?
I am.
We'll make our picks. We'll tackle the spread. Tiki and Tierney. Six-pack of picks coming up next right here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number, of course, toll-free is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So a pretty good sporting Friday night. A little baseball, ALCS. Yankees trying to live to see another day. The Buckeyes are playing tonight at against Northwestern. And then obviously full slate tomorrow in terms of college. Week 7 around the NFL already underway. Mahomes averting disaster. He'll be out a little bit of time, but obviously it could have been a whole lot worse. All right, it's time to make our picks. Tiki and Tierney, six-pack of picks. And let's see where we're at. All right, so Tiki was 2-3-1. Last week, 13-21-2 on the season, 38.89. We'll round it up. We'll give him 39% on the season. All right, so Tiki's creeping up. He started slow, but he's showing some signs of waking up here. I was 3-3 last week, 21-15 on the season, 58 change. It's below 5, so it's 58% on the button. I got to be honest, I'm having a rough time with college. I'm destroying the NFL.
Yeah.
I got to be winning 85. I have to be over 80%. For the NFL.
College is one of those years where there's so much turnover, like in personnel, that you don't know how these kids are going to play week in and week out. Like, you can look at a little bit of history, but there's not a ton. So you don't know.
College's been tough.
It is tough.
And I keep reaching deeper and deeper into those obscure conferences, hoping I find a little magic. So hopefully the magic starts now. Let's make our picks. Here we go.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth.
Forget about Vegas and your buddy Joey. We got your winners right here. It's Tiki and Tierney's six-pack of picks.
Okay, here we go. We start a little 3:30 Eastern kick, a little South Florida for you. At Navy, South Florida, getting a whole lot of wood. 14.5-point dogs. Am I going with the wolf or am I going with the favorite here? Well, a couple of things to consider. First of all, South Florida, started really poorly. They're starting to show some signs here. They've won two out of their last three, getting a little traction after a really bad start. Now, Navy, because of the way they play, they're very rarely favored by 2+ touchdowns. They are here. But I did a little digging, and this is not anything that emboldens me to go with Navy. Since 2005, Navy has been 14-point or more favorites 19 times during the span in terms of covering, 6-12-1
wow.
against the spread. Translation, they don't cover those big numbers. Translation, Sharp Tierney going with South Florida. Give me South Florida plus 14.5. Just hang around. It opened up at 14 and moved to 14.5 if you're curious. All right, App State. Woo! A little something we call the Tiki and Tierney Mojo here.
Right.
It's been flowing for 7 years on this show, and it's going to flow for another day in addition to the 7 years because I'm taking App State. They're laying minus 15. They're hosting UL Monroe. Now, we had Coach Eli Drinkwitz on the show. Coach Drinkwitz on the show yesterday. And the guy's phenomenal. I mean, that was a great interview. You want to go to radio.com or cbssportsradio.com. The guy dropped about 9 sayings that were really poignant, which made me think they're not going to take anything for granted despite being 15-point favorites.
Right.
Plus, we got the Tiki and Tierney Mojo. That's at 3:30 Eastern kick. App State 5-0, as important for me in terms of this segment, 4-1 against the spread. They cover the nut quite often. I believe they do it again. Lay the 15. App State takes care of business. We move on. San Diego State. The Aztecs are -8, which is a weird number.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot.
It
is. You see the -6.5 or the -9.5. You have to make a decision. Do you go? I mean, 8 is a weird number. Admittedly, 8's a weird, wacky number. I hear you. San Diego State is at San Jose State. The battle of the sands here. So the Aztecs, they've owned the recent rivalry. In 2018, it was tight. It was a 3-point win. But you go, and again, I know every roster is different, every year is different, but there's something to be said for how you feel against a certain team. 2 years ago, they won 42-7. A couple of years before that, they won 38-7. San Jose State does not score a lot against San Diego State. I'm going to bank on that trend again. I'm going to lay the 8 points. I'm going to take San Diego State to win at San Jose State by at least 8 points. NFL. Go Giants. Jiggy's Giants.
There it is.
I don't think I've ridden them yet this
there
year.
It
Here
is.
We go. Get on the Giants horse. Woo, woo. The Giants are, listen, I'm telling you, this is going to be a fun game for Giants fans. First of all, Giant fans enter MetLife with the notion that they actually have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's short-lived, even if it's a little delusional, the Giant fans suddenly believe they've got a shot that they're seeing. And it does, based on the standings. The Giants will get their third win of the season, -3 against the Arizona Cardinals. Listen, I like what the Cards are doing. I know I do. I really do. But their defense is awful. They're ranked 29th and 30th in every pertinent defensive stat. You got Barkley coming back. Evan Ingram's coming back. The place will be juiced up. The Giants are coming off basically a bye with that extra lap with the Patriots game. They competed hard for Coach mm-hmm. Herbert despite having none of their key players, really. The Daniel Jones mania takes another leap forward in the right direction. I think the Giants destroy them. How about this? The Titans, -2.5. They will host the San Diego Superchargers. Now, I did say, I'm going to break my own rule. It's only been a 2-day rule, but I'm going to break it anyway. I did say that we're not allowed to mention the Titans anymore on the show.
Yes,
so
you did.
To be somewhat of a functional offense. But Marcus Mariota's not playing. So I can mention the Tennessee Titans. I can also lay the 2.5 points, which I'm willing to do. Listen, I've been telling you all year, Chargers aren't that good. Much respect for Rivers. Not the same guy. Not the same team. They're going nowhere. That's not a mirage. I don't love the Titans. That goes without saying. But I just think there's an injection of something. Tannehill might be better than Mariota.
Mm.
And he might find a little something with Corey Davis, which Mariota cannot.
Looking for a spark.
I'm looking for it as well. And I'm looking for the Titans to cover the 2.5. Give me Tennessee. Finally, I'll make this one quick. The Ravens and Seattle. It's in Seattle. And the over-under. I'm going to touch one of these. You can't do, six-pack without one over-under. Come on.
I got one.
It's against the rules. You have to. Unwritten rule. Over-under 49.5. All right? Now, Seattle hasn't played too well at home this year. Bengals beat them. They beat the Bengals by a point. I expect some points here. And my rationale is simple. The average score for Baltimore this year is 30-23.
Mm-hmm.
That's 53 points on the average. The average score for Seattle is 27-24. That's north of 50 as well. The over-under here is 49.5. I'll take the over. So, in summation, South Florida plus 14.5 at Navy. Give me App State. Come on, Coach Eli. Don't let me down. -15 against UL Monroe. San Diego State, the Aztecs, -8 against San Jose State. I'll take Tiki's Giants to just bludgeon the Cardinals. Lay the 3. Titans, -2.5. They'll beat the Chargers straight up. And I'll take the Ravens at Seattle over 49.5.
I like
what
it. I'll be quick. I'm going out in the Mountain West. Boise State, who's 6-0 on the season, traveling to BYU to take on the Cougars. BYU has struggled a little bit, 2-4 on the year, and Boise State has been rolling. I like them scoring 37 points a game to cover the 7. Give me Boise State -7 at BYU. Staying in the Mountain West, New Mexico going to Wyoming. Sean Chambers, their quarterback, is one of the really good dual-purpose quarterbacks in that conference. Got 12 total touchdowns. More importantly, on the other side, New Mexico is a turnover machine. 11 interceptions they've already had on the season. Wyoming will take advantage of that with short fields and cover this big number, 19.5. It's at home for Wyoming. I expect them to take care of business against New Mexico, the Lobos. Minnesota at Rutgers. This is a tough one. Minnesota's undefeated. You're right. They're scoring 35, 36 points a game. Minnesota is. Rutgers is hapless right now. So I'm going to look at the over here. They're 47.5. All I need, Rutgers, give me a touchdown.
They gave you no points last week.
They did, but give me a touchdown, and I think this one goes over. 47.5, I'll take the over. Minnesota at Rutgers. And if not, Minnesota, cover it yourself. Getting to the National Football League, the 49ers laying 9.5 on the road against the Washington Redskins. Redskins at some point, I think, are going to put Dwayne Haskins into this game. It's not going to be a good result. And I think 49ers take advantage of it. One of the really good defenses in football right now. And Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't had to be great. They're going to handle this one easy. 9.5 in Washington. The Rams going to the Falcons. The Falcons are, I don't know, I mean, Matt Ryan has, like, good dank games. They don't score points. And so even though the Rams are on the road and they haven't been running the ball, I think this is a get-right game for them in a lot of ways. Hopefully Todd Gurley can play. I know he's a little bit questionable right now, but it's only he's only laying two here. Give me the Rams minus two down in Atlanta. And then lastly, the Raiders at the Packers. I want to believe in the Raiders, but the Packers have been playing so good, and they're only going to get better. Laying 5.5 at home. Lambeau's one of the toughest places to play. It's going to get chilly at night in this game as well. So I like the Packers laying 5.5, hosting the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. So to recap, Boise State minus 7 at BYU. Give me Boise State. Wyoming laying 19.5, hosting New Mexico. I'll take Wyoming. Give me the over 47.5, Minnesota at Rutgers. The 49ers are going to handle business in Washington, laying 9.5. The Rams doing the same in Atlanta, laying 2. And the Packers taking care of the Raiders, the upstart-ish Raiders, 5.5 in Lambeau.
I like it. I heard some winners. All right, still lots to squeeze in here on Tiki and Tierney Week 7. Football Friday. First, though, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Jack in the D, a little Detroit. But who wants to know about the Pac-12? That's interesting. Jack is in the heart of Big Ten country. He's curious about Pac-12. All right. Big Pac-12 matchup this weekend with ASU and Utah. Can one of these teams or Oregon make a legit run to the playoffs? The answer,
No. I don't think so either. You know, Oregon would be the only one, but they'd have to, like, get dominating at the end of the last half of this season. But the one team that we are paying attention to is Arizona State because of our buddy Herm.
Good old Herm.
Right? Herm, 5-1. He might mess around and have like a 10-1 season.
That's right.
Dude, how awesome would that be for our boy?
And we get him back on. We have, listen, Tiki and Tierney Mojo. We gave it to him a couple of weeks back. It's all good.
Who did they play right after
played Utah.
That's right.
And yeah, they played Utah. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know,
Buddy is in Roanoke, Virginia, and he's an Oregon fan. I have no idea why, and I think it's only because of the colors.
Has he been an Oregon fan?
Probably after we left college. So
that long?
Yeah.
All right. So, he's been around for a minute.
So it was right when Phil Knight started.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are going to have the greatest facility on the planet, and you're going to change uniforms every week. So it was just cool. Like, he liked the gear, so he became a fan.
I could very easily sign a letter of intent to go play in Eugene, Oregon. That would not be a tough sell for any sport. I don't care what I was playing.
In a locker room. Room. It had, like, it was like this vast, like,
oh, sick.
It was beautiful.
Absolutely sick. We will bounce around now, and for some reason, as I try to stall, my computer is not working, so I will actually just open up my phone, and I will just do this via the CBSSports.com app. All right, so we hit, obviously, a lot of these picks here, but let's just blast through them as we always do on a Friday. Buffalo's coming off the bye. Miami, this is not about points, Brett, just maybe a pertinent storyline. You know, I'd like to see Miami.
No,
Buffalo. I mean, pardon me. I'd like to see Buffalo.
The hell are you talking about?
Pardon me. I'd like to see Buffalo maybe open up the offensive playbook a little bit, maybe experiment a little bit in this game against a team that you could probably mess around with a little bit.
I don't know if you trust Josh Allen enough to do that yet, so I'm going to say Buffalo's winning this game.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. We're not debating that. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I just want to see a different page of the book here. The defense is great, and you got to see Josh Allen doing some things tightening up some things a little bit here. Jacksonville's on the road in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Minshew's a bit banged up. Jaguars, no Jalen Ramsey. How does that impact them? I'm not really sure. You know what? This is going to sound crazy. Would it stun me if the Bengals won? I don't know that it would stun me. It wouldn't stun me, but I think the Jaguars find a way.
Yeah, I think so as well. It's just a matter of Ryan Finley. When's Ryan Finley going to get a chance?
From NC State.
From NC State to show some of his wares. It doesn't matter.
Not yet.
I don't know, because it almost doesn't, it doesn't even matter if Andy Dalton plays well or not.
No.
They just they're not winning, and they don't run the ball, and defensively they get compromised because they're on the field all the time.
Oh, their run defense is horrendous, but a lot of it is because the time of possession is incredibly one-sided in the wrong direction from their point of view.
Jacksonville, by the way.
Yep, Minnesota's at Detroit Ford Field here. Big one. We talked about this excessively here. I just think the Vikings are better, slightly. Mm-hmm. This is not shade at Detroit. I know you're a good team, but the Vikings have an offensive look that's beginning to meet their defensive prowess. I like the Vikings maybe by 4, 5, or 6 points.
I like home dogs, save for Atlanta against the Rams. I'm going to go Detroit here.
Detroit straight up win.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it for that division.
I think they play well. And again, it makes the division so much more interesting if they win.
You have the Packers. They were in your six-pack of picks. So you think they'll cover the numbers. So you don't think it's incredibly competitive. You think the Raiders get rolled or what?
No. I think this is actually a high-scoring game. I think, you know, the Raiders are interesting because Josh Jacobs is turned into a bell cow for them. So they're going to turn around and hand it off a lot, which ultimately makes it easier for Derek Carr. But Green Bay is firing, and even doesn't. And hopefully, they get Devontae Adams back.
He's not playing,
but soon. But But even without him, they're able to score because their run game is so potent. Even when Aaron Jones has bad days, they're able to withstand it. So I think this game is more. You know, if I was looking at the over under, I'd say definitely over for this one.
Look at you hitting these angles now.
But I think Green Bay wins this one.
You know, I just don't think the Bears were ready to play in London. And I think this line, forget about the line. I just think that the Raiders, I think there's a little overhype now, a little overzealousness, if you will, based on what they did against the Bears. I don't think Chicago was really locked in there. I think the Packers win. I don't think they bludgeon them. It says it's going to be like 40-10. But I think the Packers win. I could see something along the lines of, 30-7, 31-20, something. But I think the Packers eventually win going away. That's a CBS game, by the way, at Lambeau. How about this? The Texans and the Colts, big one, AFC South.
It's one of the great games of the weekend, by the way. I like Deshaun Watson to continue what he's been doing over the last couple of weeks. Getting the ball. I mean, if Will Fuller, think about this from last weekend. They beat the, they beat the Chiefs last weekend. If Will Fuller catches just one or maybe even two of those touchdowns, I mean, they destroyed Kansas City last week if they don't have so many drops. So Houston has a chance to be really, really, really good this year, and I think they continued against the Colts.
I think the Colts win. I would go with the Colts in this one. It's a CBS game, by the way. I think that until the Texans, at least from my point of view, show that they can handle prosperity and I can start to trust them. Plus, by the way, the Colts will possess the ball a lot. Leonard's coming back.
Yep, Marlon Mack's a good runner.
For sure. I could see Jacoby Brissett protecting the football, keeping the Texans off the field a bit. I don't think it's a high-scoring game. I think the Colts can win this game. I think the Colts will win. I already picked the Giants. I think they really have some fun. I think MetLife is popping on Sunday. I think they score some points against the Cards.
Yeah, I concur.
Of course you do.
Saquon's playing.
I hear you. San Francisco should smack the Redskins.
Yeah, I don't think that's a question.
I picked the Titans. That was the 2.5 points. But in terms of, listen, Tennessee is home. The Chargers aren't very good. Tennessee has not been very good. This is going to sound crazy. I think Ryan Tannehill might be slightly better than Mariota.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. He's going to give a spark. He's going to throw the ball downfield a little bit, get rid of it, instead of holding on to it like Marcus Mariota was wont to do. But more importantly, the Los Angeles Chargers have been turnover machines. I think Phillip Rivers has 8 interceptions on the season, and he had 13 all of last year.
But he had 6 in December.
Exactly.
So this is a bad trend that
he's
going
exactly
through.
That's exactly right. So think about that. From December into this year, 12, it's a lot of interceptions.
Yep. I'm going to give you a little upset. Well, maybe. I don't know if it's fully an upset here. I think the Bears are going to beat the Saints here.
I do, too.
I like to back a good team that was embarrassed. They were embarrassed by the Raiders in London.
Well, I'm also worried that this offense stagnates a little bit. I know they have Latavius Murray as the backup running back, but I think they stagnate a little bit without Alvin Kamara in the game because he's not playing because of knee and ankle injuries. And, look, he's not your 25 touch a game guy, Alvin Kamara, but he is a catalyst. So he's ruled out already.
Yeah.
Their offense changes significantly, not to mention Jared Cook, who's been really good from tight end.
Tight end, yeah.
Which a young, not you might young, because Teddy Bridgewater's not young anymore, but you know what I mean. He's not a down the field passer. You rely on your tight end. Jared
Teddy
Cook's,
two gloves.
Exactly. He's not playing either. So there's two huge weapons that aren't available to him.
Yeah, I feel pretty
on
confident
the road
saying
against
the Bears
a very good
win.
Defense.
Yeah, no doubt. Baltimore, Seattle. I had this in terms of the over for a 6-pack of picks. By the way, they're on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Give it a shot.
It's a tough one.
I don't know which way to go here.
It's a tough one. It is. I think Seattle, I give Seattle the edge, just like the line gives them the edge, three, because they're home, and CenturyLink is tough to play at. But, I mean, could Lamar Jackson rip off, you know, 8 25-yard-plus runs and steal this game? Absolutely. And so when you have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, you just don't know.
Some days
he gets stifled. Some days it's like, dude, did you see that?
The fluctuations in how we perceive him are pretty volatile. He goes from, you know, maybe the outer limit of the MVP conversation early to, is he really the guy? Three picks against Pittsburgh, got a little lucky with a bad call, and then he's back up.
Yep, 150 yards and a touchdown on the ground, and he threw for 200 yards. I mean, you know, he's on pace to rush for 1,200 yards and throw for 4,000.
Is that what the number, 1,200?
Yeah, he's on pace to rush for 1,200 yards and throw for
4,000. It's going to be more than Le'Veon Bell.
And throw for 4,000.
More than Le'Veon Bell.
Think about that. Think about what I just said.
I'm thinking, trust me. Think about what I just said. With Le'Veon, he's going to have more Le'Veon Bell. All right, I'm going to say the Seattle Seahawks win this game. Every time we talk about the Ravens, and it's not organizationally because I love the way they comport themselves. They're one of the best franchises in all of sport. They've been that way this century. I really believe they're a great franchise. But I'm not sure about Lamar, and I'm not sure about this team yet. I got Seattle in a tight one. Sunday night, I think the Philadelphia Eagles win. I think the Eagles win it. Dallas is banged up. I don't know how Dallas are going to score points.
I think I'll take
Philly.
I think the injuries, here's the interesting thing. I think last week, the Cowboys thought that they were going to waltz into MetLife and just take care of the Jets because the Jets hadn't won. Lowly Jets. We can beat them. They got smacked in the face, and they're like, man, this Sam Darnold kid's pretty good. But because Amari Cooper wasn't playing or he went out early, Randall Cobb didn't suit up at all, and Gallup has the knee injury. They didn't have any weapons.
They were looking for Jason Witten on the two-point conversion.
You're right.
Jason, but come on.
I think they took the Jets too lightly.
Okay.
And can you go? We don't really need you. Can you go? No, I won't go. That's not the case.
That's a dangerous game to play when you only have three wins at that point.
I agree.
Yeah.
And you're on a slide, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't. That's not going to be the case.
You think Dallas wins?
I think the Cowboys win it.
I got Philly. All right, we'll see what happens. By the way, here's the lineup. I want to see if Aaron Boone made some tweaks. Not that Hinch needs to do it for Houston. LeMahieu batting first. That's the way it's been. Judge batting second. That's Gleyber Torres in the three spot. Stanton's playing. So you got LeMahieu, Judge, Torres, Stanton. Stanton's DH, and he's batting fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Hicks has actually had some quality at bats.
Encarnacion, who was hitting 120.
I told you. I said that 3 hours ago. Sit him. Thank God he's sitting. Aaron Hicks is batting fifth and center. Sanchez is behind the dish. He hit the home run, but he's been impotent otherwise. Number six in the six hole. DD, Urshela, and Brett Gardner down to the nine hole here. Springer, Altuve, Brantley. Brantley's such a good professional hitter. Bregman hasn't even really bopped out yet. He might. Gurriel, Correa. Correa's batting sixth. How good are you when Carlos Correa's batting sixth?
Yeah.
Alvarez, Chirinos, and Mariznick.
Yeah.
That's
the most
lineup
important,
right there.
Yeah, the most important thing is on the mound for the Houston Astros is Justin Verlander, who's had plenty of time to be rested. This series is likely over for the New York Yankees, but
it ain't over until
maybe some good things will happen for the good guys.
Yep. You have a good trip out there to Happy Valley?
I will. I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
You know
this will be a fun game.
Do?
By the way, BT mentioned that I'm doing the game, but it's for Compass Media Network, so it's the national broadcast. You'll find it if you're listening to national sports radio looking for the national games that are airing at night, and there's not that many.
No, it's the
night.
Big game.
So you'll find it.
I'll see everybody on top Sunday morning at 8 Eastern. So Jen is taking Kinsley to Frozen on Broadway Sunday.
Nice.
Daddy's taking Colton to Hooters. First time. Come on, bub. How old are you, four? Let's go. Everybody have a great weekend.
Family
go
restaurant.
Go Yanks. Let's go.
Family restaurant.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.